Public Media. This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Medicare and Medicaid, both part of LBJ's Great Society program in the 1960s, were aimed at eliminating poverty and addressing racial injustice. Medicare provides health coverage for senior citizens. Medicaid does that for the poor, elderly, and disabled. But to enroll in Medicaid, you have to either be a U.S. citizen or a qualified non-citizen, such as a legal permanent resident. In each year, these requirements, combined with the huge out-of-pocket price of health care, keep countless immigrants from getting the health care they need. In December 2020, Illinois lawmakers aimed to change that, extending health coverage to undocumented seniors age 65 and older, reportedly the first state in the nation to do so. But the program has gaps. For example, it doesn't cover stays in nursing homes or rehab clinics, and the population of elderly, undocumented people is expected to grow significantly in the coming decade. All this was the subject of a recent story by Carlos Ballesteros, a reporter at Injustice Watch who covers police, politics, and immigrant communities, along with Laura Rodriguez-Presa of the Chicago Tribune, the reporting on the growing population of undocumented senior citizens in Illinois, including a piece on the new healthcare program. Carlos, thank you for joining us. Welcome back to the 21st.
Thank you for having me.
We're also joined today by Tovia Siegel, director of the Healthy Illinois Campaign, which aims to make quality, affordable health coverage, accessible to everyone in Illinois. Tovia, welcome to you as well. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for the invitation. Excited for the conversation this morning.
And finally, we're joined by State Representative Delia Ramirez, a Democrat from Chicago. She's backed legislation aimed at expanding health coverage for people who are undocumented and uninsured. I should note she's also running for Congress in Illinois' newly redrawn 3rd Congressional District, which stretches from the Logan Square neighborhood on the north side of Chicago out west through the suburbs to Elgin. Representative Ramirez, welcome to the 21st. Thanks for being here.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Listeners, if you want to join our conversation, you can do so at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Or just tweet us at 21st Show, 21ST Show. All right, Carlos, I want to begin with you. Can you describe the Health Benefits for Immigrant Adults program and who and how many people have signed up for it?
Yeah, of course. So the Health Benefits for Immigrant Adults program really was a monumental step for the state of Illinois in terms of securing health care for immigrants. It was the first program in the country to offer this kind of health care, state-funded health care, to undocumented older adults 65 and older. It's since then been expanded to include undocumented adults who are 55 and older. And the program also encompasses immigrants who have gotten a green card in the last 5 years, because thanks to a 1996 law, people who do get a green card have to wait 5 years before they can access these kinds of programs. And so far, the program has enrolled about 9,000 people. That's according to data that we received from the state a couple months ago. And about 2/3 of those folks are undocumented. So more than 6,000 undocumented seniors have signed up.
Interesting. All right. So, Tovia, Healthy Illinois, your organization, initially pushed lawmakers to establish a program that would extend health care access to all low-income immigrants. Lawmakers instead opted for this more narrow program. Can you talk about what went into getting this off the ground? What was that like?
Sure. So that's correct, that Healthy Illinois has and continues to advocate for access to healthcare coverage for everybody, regardless of their immigration status in the state of Illinois. And our first major win was ensuring access to healthcare coverage for, like you and Carlos mentioned, people ages 65 and up, and then we were able to expand that to people ages 55 and up in the state, regardless of their immigration status. And that happened through a huge, huge grassroots group effort of community organizations, institutions like hospitals and healthcare providers for whom this is crucial, both for the financial health of those institutions and to provide the comprehensive quality care for people from all the way from primary care to, emergency or long-term health coverage. And it's been an effort for years at this point. The campaign is about 7 years old and has members from over 70 organizations, institutions, county governments, a huge range of stakeholders who know that healthcare is a human right, and providing this is both financially responsible and morally just an obligation for our communities to be healthy and safe. And it's been through the championing of leaders like leader Delia Ramirez, who's on the call with us, and others who have pushed this through the state legislature.
Well, Representative Ramirez, let me bring you into the conversation then. I understand you were inspired in part by your uncle in this. What can you tell us about him?
Thanks for asking. I mean, my uncle is just one of the thousands of people who have been in this country, essential workers in the midst of a pandemic, who have never in their life have had health care. My uncle is 64 years of age now, and as of last week, eligible for the first time to have health care. He has worked at a diner about 70 hours a week and has diabetes. And for a long time has had to choose between getting his insulin and paying for the mortgage or putting his kids to school. And for me and for so many of us in the Latino Legislative Caucus, this is very personal. We personally know people who are in this country for many, many years unable to afford health care. And this is life-changing for them.
So, Tovia, let me ask you, what are some of the things that are covered by this program, and what are some of the things that it leaves out?
Sure. So this program is essentially a Medicaid expansion. So almost everything that's covered by traditional Medicaid, federally funded Medicaid that U.S. citizens qualify for is covered as well under the Health Benefits for Immigrants program in the state of Illinois. The exception to that is long-term care and home and community-based care services, which are services that people receive when they need ongoing, ongoing support and care for weeks, sometimes months, years. So you think of nursing home services, home health aides, any kind of personal health aid services. And at Healthy Illinois, we're fighting for full parity between federal Medicaid programs and this state program, because we don't believe that undocumented immigrants should have a second-rate program. And we're pushing to make sure that those services are included in the future as well.
Carlos, you reported on how some of those exclusions were a challenge for somebody. Can you just talk a little bit about the story of Mr. Ocampo, and who is a vendor in the Pilsen neighborhood, and the problems with his knees?
Yeah, of course. So Ananias Ocampo is a fixture in Pilsen. Anyone from Pilsen will recognize his face almost immediately. He's a street vendor. He's been selling ice cream and other goods for a very long time. Very much a part of the community. A few years ago, his knees started to give out, and he was still having to work through the pain because he doesn't have family to rely on. And because he is undocumented, he doesn't have the social safety net that other seniors in this country do have access to, so that they don't fall into extreme levels of poverty. And so Mr. Ocampo had to keep working, had to push through, and it was unbearable. He talks about it in very emotional terms of how intense the pain was. Thankfully, because of the healthcare benefits program for undocumented adults, he was able to secure his knee replacement surgery. But the issue, though, that we came across in our reporting is that because Mr. Ocampo lives alone, and the program doesn't cover the rehabilitation services that he would have needed after a knee replacement surgery, he was on the verge of not getting the surgery because the hospital was reticent about giving him the surgery and then letting him off on his own because he had no one to take care of him. And so it was only after an immigrant organizer stepped up to take care of Mr. Ocampo, that he was able to get the surgery. She and this volunteer did it out of her own time, out of her own pocket, was not paid, did not get any sort of financial compensation for it, just out of the kindness of her heart to help Mr. Ocampo. Now, the situation, though, is that we know that there are a lot more undocumented seniors who live alone, who don't have family, or who have family who can't take care of them because they're working all the time. And so, you know, thankfully, Mr. Ocampo's case ended up being positive, but there's a substantial risk that there are a lot of other older undocumented folks out there who need immediate and long-term healthcare services, but might not be able to access them because of the gaps in the program as it stands.
Representative Ramirez, why were those aspects not included in the program? Long-term care, nursing home care, rehabilitation, things like that?
That's a really good question. Our legislative intent was to include it as we put in the language in our budget implementation plan. Initially, the bill, we intended to have a standalone bill during the pandemic. And we ended up deciding, because of the emergency and the short period of time we were together in session in 2020, that we would just wrap the language into our BIM. And unfortunately, I think in a back and forth, getting it from one chamber to the other, it just didn't get included. Our intent is to make sure that that gets included in the BIMP, in the budget negotiations that we're doing right now.
Okay, and just for listeners who may not be as steeped in the ins and outs of state
My
government.
Apologies.
No, it's all right, but I'll just briefly say the BIMP is called the Budget Implementation Bill. There's always a spending bill that says where, you know, how much money is being spent on different programs in state government, and then this separate bill that sort of directs, you know, all the little changes. It's super, super long and super dense and complex, and apparently you can fit entire new programs into it. Let me ask, though, about the cost, because I'm sure that is something that, you know, we can invite other people onto this program who would say, how are we paying for this? Because this is not reimbursed by the federal government, unlike a lot of Medicaid spending, right?
That is correct. So it would cost about $64 million at most in this moment to expand and include the long-term care and the community-based care into the current legislation of 55 and over. About $60 million, we assume, for 65 and over, and then the 55 to 64 would be another $4 million. And while that seems to be, and certainly is, it's a hefty amount, one would say, the cost of not including them, in our opinion, is far more than what we see in a $64 million out of a $42 billion budget. What we know already is that there are opportunities, particularly for those that are legal permanent residents of less than 5 years, for the federal government to be able to reimburse some of those expenses that right now we're actually leaving at the table with HFS. And so we also know that not including them and having to end up in an emergency room or in a hospital because they can be discharged with community-based care or into a nursing home is far more expensive for the state.
And we need to take a break in a couple of minutes here. But before we do, I want to talk about another aspect of this. Tovia, let me ask you, can you just talk about language in healthcare? I understand that enrollees of this program speak 40 different languages and live in half of Illinois' 102 counties. Can you just talk about the role of language and communication and how that can be a barrier to getting healthcare?
Yeah, absolutely. I think to your point, you know, passing this program is a huge sort of win, and implementing it and making sure people actually get access to the healthcare they deserve and need is another crucial part. And a huge amount of that has been done through what we call community health workers or health navigators, who are individuals connected with community organizations all over the state. Who are talking to members of their own communities in their languages, who are culturally competent, and making sure that they have access both to understanding that they're eligible for this program and enrolling, but also to accessing bilingual, bicultural providers who really can give them the care that they need and deserve. So language access is a huge piece, and a major way we've done that is through community health workers.
Okay, we need to take a break. We're going to continue talking about this relatively new Illinois program that aims to provide healthcare, Medicaid type care to undocumented immigrants, particularly those who are older, although there are those who want to expand it even to younger populations as well. We'll talk about that when we come back. We're speaking with State Representative Delia Ramirez, from Democrat from Chicago, Tovia Siegel, who's director of the Healthy Illinois Campaign, and Carlos Ballesteros, who's a reporter with Injustice Watch, who, along with a reporter from the Chicago Tribune, worked on a story that looked at this program and also some of the gaps in how it's been implemented so far. We're going to continue this conversation after a short break. 800-222-9455 if you want to join our conversation, if you have a question or comment for our guests. 800-222-9455. More to come. Do stay with us. Welcome back to the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about the Health Benefits for Immigrant Adults program, Illinois' effort to extend health care coverage to people who are undocumented and would not otherwise qualify for Medicaid. These are particularly for older people in Illinois, although there are efforts to extend that down the age brackets to younger undocumented people as well. We're talking about this with Carlos Ballesteros, a reporter with Injustice Watch, who, along with Laura Rodriguez-Presa of the Chicago Tribune, reported on this growing population of undocumented senior citizens in Illinois and this healthcare program. We're also speaking with Tovia Siegel, director of the Healthy Illinois Campaign, and State Representative Delia Ramirez from Chicago, a Democrat who backed legislation aimed at expanding health coverage for people who are undocumented. 800-222-9455 if you want to join our conversation. 800-222-9455 is the number. Or you can tweet us at 21st Show, at 21st Show. Representative Ramirez, can you talk a little bit about the age factor here? I saw you quoted somewhere, and I can't remember if it was in the story we're talking about or a different one, that a lot of older undocumented or older immigrants, I guess, are documented, right? They might have gotten amnesty in the 1980s, and that there's a greater concern, perhaps, or an equally valid concern for younger populations. Can you talk about that and some of the challenges you might have faced in convincing other lawmakers to go along with that idea?
Yeah, I mean, we know that. So about 9,900 people have now are participating or enrolled in the current program. So, you know, from Carlos, from the report you got, I think we just got a latest number. There's another 900 people that are now enrolled. So 9,900 seniors in this moment are enrolled in the program. Of those 9,900, we know that about 70% of them are undocumented, but a portion of them are legal permanent residents of less than 5 years. So in this country, and in the state, if you are a legal permanent resident of less than 5 years, you're not eligible to those public benefits, but you're paying into Medicaid, you're paying into your taxes, but you're not getting that benefit. That was a key conversation with my colleagues when we talked about this expansion. Now, we talked about the number of people, including DACA recipients, that every single day pay into the Medicaid system that they possibly could never see if we don't make this expansion necessary. And I think that was an awareness moment for a number of people, including some of my colleagues, who did not know that they were also paying into the Medicaid system. But the other piece I think is really critical. Look, we passed this in the middle of a pandemic. The coalition has been working in this for 7 years. Before this crisis of our lifetime ever happened. And what we realized was that the people that were already vulnerable before this pandemic were just going to be 10 times more vulnerable in the middle of it, and many would die. By the time they contracted COVID-19, they were in an emergency room with unmanaged diabetes, high blood pressure, and a number of other things. They were dying So as my colleagues and I were at the coalition, worked on this expansion in 2020, we knew this was life or death for people, that we had to cover them as quickly as possible in those 4 days of session. But we knew we needed to come back to do more, which is what we're doing right now.
Okay, let's go to the phones. Paul is calling from Urbana. Paul, thank you for calling in.
Okay, this is a bit complicated, but it's a similar thing. As well as paying into Medicare, they pay into worker comp. And my understanding from some work done on campus with the Beardstown plant, that on-the-job injuries, typically the people go back to Mexico to get their health care, which is at least a guaranteed system, if not as good of a system that is available to some here in the U.S. So it's just another dimension of the complexity of this. And it also sees these people as workers, as opposed to just, you know, wards of the state, people who've gotten elderly, who've gotten COVID. They probably got COVID on the job, too. So I just wanted to highlight that aspect.
All right. Thank you for the call, Paul. Appreciate it. Let me ask you about, Tovey, I don't know if you want to respond to what Paul had to say there, or just maybe you can talk a little bit. He mentioned Beardstown, and I think he's probably talking to meatpacking. There are a lot of undocumented people who work in agriculture and meatpacking downstate. Does this, you know, do these programs affect them, or will it reach them?
Yeah, I think Paul made an excellent point that the way our public benefits systems are set up right now, many people who have paid into them for decades, who happen to be undocumented, are forced to choose between separating themselves from their family and returning to a home country where they might be able to access certain protections and benefits, or remaining here with their families where they don't have access to those benefits. And that's exactly why this program matters, why we've been fighting for it, because people shouldn't have to make that choice between family separation and access to essential services that they've been paying into the system for decades. And, you know, that goes for all kinds of services, and absolutely impacts the many, many undocumented workers in the agricultural industry in the state, as well as others.
Carlos, this is part of a broader series that you're working on. Can you talk a little bit about some of the other reporting you're doing in this area?
Yeah. So the reporting came about because an estimate coming out of Rush University, a report they did a couple years ago, estimates that the growth in this population of undocumented seniors, that is undocumented immigrants age 65 and older in Illinois, will grow from about 4,000 in 2017 to more than 55,000 by the end of this decade. And so this growth is coming. These folks, for the most part, will be here. This is where their families are. This is where they've laid roots. They're not leaving. This problem will not go away. And so the series has been, we would hope, highlighting the kind of issues and tribulations that this population has to contend with, particularly as it relates to access to healthcare, but also as it relates to access to affordable housing, and also the inability to retire and what that does to a person. You know, because without a social safety net, these folks have to work until they drop a lot of the times. And that means not being able to enjoy their later years with their family. That means having to go without necessary medical procedures. That means just suffering for a very long time until the very end. And I think because the numbers are so great and because this population is set to increase exponentially, we found that it was time for us to ring those alarm bells and make sure that the state and legislators know that this problem is coming. And so the last story in the series comes out this week, and it deals with potential policy solutions that the state government could enact. And a lot of it revolves around essentially what the healthcare program did, but recreating that for food assistance, unemployment benefits, essentially creating programs that mirror what's already available for citizens, but providing an alternative for undocumented immigrants who don't qualify for those programs. so that they don't fall into extreme poverty.
Representative Ramirez, we're almost out of time, but what do you gauge as the appetite for that sort of expansion among your colleagues in the General Assembly?
I think it's becoming more and more clear for all of us that unless we address it, we're not going to address community stability for all of us. I mean, the reality that Carlos just talked about, a perfect example is if someone ends up, they don't have a family member, they're released from the hospital and they need additional supports, where do they go? There isn't a shelter available for them to go to. So the question is, where do they go? They go die somewhere? And so I think that, you know, for particularly for the Latino Legislative Caucus and the Illinois Progressive Caucus, we are having these exact conversations. This is about healthcare, but this is also about public benefits, and it's about housing. Carlos was so clear when he said the numbers are growing. Well, think about it. We were estimating that it'd be less than 1,000 people who would enroll in this program 2 years ago. It's 9,900 right now. I mean, those numbers continue to grow. And these are essential workers, but they're also the children of DACA recipients or the adult children like me, of people who now are aging and have no supports. And so their family members have to stop working to take care of them because they can't get community care assistance. So for us, it's becoming an issue that impacts all of us, as it should be.
State Representative Delia Ramirez, Tovia Siegel with the Healthy Illinois Campaign, and Carlos Ballesteros with Injustice Watch. Thank you all for being with us today to talk about this on the 21st show.
Thank you.
Thank you
for having us.